world service and we're receiving a third world service.
Buses sucios, itinerarios perdidos en las horas rush.
We're having to wait long and during rush hours.
Si ustedes han tenido la oportunidad de usar el servicio en Nueva York,
con
la comparación de los itinerarios de aquí, son más tardados los de acá de Los Ángeles.
If you ever use the buses in New York, you would see that the buses in LA are so much worse.
Tan dinámica como la de acá. Tenemos también buses sobrecargados de pasajeros que elevan también los niveles, como decía la otra compañera, de los riesgos de enfermedades respiratorias.
We have overcrowded buses that makes us sick, you know, makes the possibilities for us to get sick with respiratory infections.
Y a la vez también buses que corren en malas condiciones.
And buses that are running in bad conditions.
Las amortiguaciones, por ejemplo, muy pésimas. Y con las condiciones de las calles con que cuenta la ciudad de Los Ángeles y que es de todo el mundo conocido, que están en malas condiciones, esto también tiene una afectación.
La salud de los pasajeros. Really affects our health.
Van Victor, thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Van Victor, is that?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, to the board. I'm not here to ask you or to beg you to not make cuts to this board. So whatever reasons you don't hear me, you may listen to me now. My address is to the people here that if they make these cuts, then we will show them a boycott that Martin Luther King had presented in Selma, Alabama that they have never seen before. Okay? When we stop riding their buses, they will have to make cuts within their own house. Okay? It is unfair that you do this. I'll give you gentlemen something to digest your meal a little bit better. If you take it as a plan to cut these bus services, just try it. We will boycott you and you won't have a reason to have employment in your service. In fact, you get dismantled this company right, all together.
I'd love to hear this. Francisca Quintana.
Good morning, board members. My name is Jose Francisco Cordero Montes. I am a member of the Bus Riders Unions. I run along bus line 730, which connects me to the Golden Line. As a matter of fact, I'm here this morning to represent the voices of hundreds, if not thousands, of good workers who go to work via MTA to and from work. They cannot be here because they have to attend work. Unlike you guys, they don't get paid to attend your board meetings. And if they were to be here, it would be meaning risking their job. Okay? Now, the other thing I want to mention, you guys have taken a step back by the decision took last on your last meeting, which means that in order to provide a better service, you would have to provide more buses, not clean buses, more buses. Let us not go back to the 80s when buses would be so full that the two of them would go and none of them would stop to pick up my people. And remember, if you were to eliminate 730, that is not the solution. All your 300 buses are very making up. Thank you.
Thank you. Jose Francisco Carlos Elzoa.
That was me.
Carlos, you here? Jose Francisco? Okay. Darius De La Cruz?
Yes.
Thanks very much. I'm a member of the Restaurant Opportunities Center that fights for workers' rights and improved workers' conditions in LA. I moved here 3.5 years ago, and I've been using my bike and MTA the whole time that I lived here, just as many restaurant workers use these lines and services to get to work. I, like them, see a need to expand hours, not cut net hours in these services. It is part of our right to work, and the bus lines empower us to do so. Specifically, you're considering, as an example, cutting the 316, which relieves pressure to the 16. One of the worst lines I know of in terms of overcrowding during rush hour and buses clumped together. And I want to emphasize that we need not to clean house and reassign hours, but a net expansion of hours. So I'm submitting this letter on behalf of Rock LA in support of the Bus Riders Union to urge you to halt considering these changes.
Thank you. Kimberly Richards, followed by Robert Ramirez, followed by Joanna Caspar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, directors. Kimberly Richards, member of the Metro San Fernando Valley Service Council, a non-car owner by choice, a transit user by choice, and a longtime public transportation advocate. Mr. Chairman, I want to thank you at the outset for having made it clear. This is a receive and file. Do you expect no action to be taken? This decision has been made. It has been made with the best possible information and data by the service councils. There is a reality here which I do not hear coming from any of the emotional arguments and rhetoric that I hear from public comment. No transit agency can afford to run service that is underutilized. That is a reality. But the other reality is, if the service is underutilized, then the number of people who have no option is also a very small one. Thank you.
Thank you. Robert Ramirez, Joanna Caspar.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, could you ask that person to not address me outside of comment or grab to have
Thank you. Thank you. Robert Ramirez, Joanna Caspar. Okay, Dr. Clyde Williams.
Hi, my name is Joanna Gaspar, a member of the Bus Riders Union. I'm a student at Pasadena City College. The impact of the service cuts affect the education of students like myself who have to travel for education every day. The last 3 years of cuts affected students. Line 753, which was the Central Rapid, was key to students going to Cal State Dominguez Hills, and now the 305, which takes students to UCLA. These cuts mean less access to education for South Central communities. You're responsible for cutting our accesses to education and health centers, which was a key component of the BRU consent decree to increase access, provide a good service to education, health centers, and jobs. Yet the example I just shared with you show the opposite. These communities, the Black and Latino, are underserved and are with less education every day. I don't want this board to undo the legacy left by the consent decree, and with these cuts, you are dismantling the consent decree. I ask you today to resign the service cuts.
Thank you. Dr. Clyde Williams, followed by Ma Sanchez.
Dr. Clyde Williams, El Reno, Northeast LA, avid rider of buses 71, 70, 71, 76, 78, and 79, and 256. We've gone through the same situation for bus 256. It was going to be cut because there wasn't enough ridership. We showed that there was enough ridership, so we saved it that year. Next year, it was lack of productivity. What does lack of productivity online mean? It means that there are too many seniors and too many students who get discounts riding the line. All of these cuts that are being made now should be re-reviewed so that maybe even the neighborhood councils, at least within the city of Los Angeles, can participate in some of these. We get notified very late, and we would like to participate, but we don't know when it starts and where it's available. So please reconsider this whole lesson.
Thank you. Mara Sanchez, followed by Walter Govan, followed by Patrick Loudon. If Walter and Patrick are here, if you'd come forward, please just line up so that we can... Okay, thank you.
Good morning. My name is Maura Sanchez. I am a worker on the East LA area, and I am here representing the East LA area about the 30 and the 31 cut over the beginning of the year. It has had a great impact on the community and the business. It's affected the business. I work for a podiatrist's office, and we're like 40% or 50% of the patients have stopped coming into their appointments because there's no transportation for them to come into this their appointments. Earlier, they mentioned the Shadow El Sol has a method to them to get to the East LA area, but the East LA the Soul Shuttle, it's a smaller bus. It doesn't have a lot of space for wheelchair patients, and the majority of the patients that we treat in the clinic where I work at have wheelchairs, and it's just not as big as the MTA. So the 30 and the 31 are a big necessity in the East LA area. Thank you.
Vicki Miller.
Esperanza from the Bus Riders Union had a little baby boy yesterday, and congratulations to her, and we hope everybody's. Alexis Lance, followed by Felipe Villarreal, followed by Yolanda Gillis.
Hi, Alexis Lance, Los Angeles County Bicycle Coalition. I urge you to revisit and reverse the decision by the MTA board. As the Los Angeles County Bicycle Coalition, we represent cyclists as well as bus riders. These are two overlapping populations, and our members often are riding their bicycles and bus out of need, and many are doing so to do out of choice. Most importantly, regarding this issue, we feel that it is important for any cuts that are made due to legitimate efficiencies be reinvested into the bus system. And thank you very much.
I'll be translating.
Buenos días. Buenos días, mi nombre es Felipe Villarreal y soy miembro de la campaña Clean Carwash de los United Steelworkers.
Good morning, my name is Felipe Villarreal and I am a member of the Clean Carwash campaign of the United Steelworkers.
Yo soy uno de los miles trabajadores en esta ciudad que dependemos del autobús para llegar a nuestros trabajos.
I am one of thousands of workers in the city who rely on the bus to get to our work.
Nosotros lavamos carros todos los días, pero muchos de nosotros no tenemos vehículo para transportarnos.
We wash cars every day, but many of us do not own cars.
Si cortan las líneas de autobuses, nos harán más difícil llegar a nuestros trabajos y podremos perderlos.
If they cut the bus routes, it would be difficult to reach our jobs, and we will run the risk of losing our jobs.
Los servicios que ustedes claman que son servicios duplicados son los únicos servicios que están disponibles para nosotros los trabajadores.
The services that you claim to be duplicate services are sometimes the only services available to us car wash workers.
Les pedimos a la mesa directiva del MTA que se retracte con los cortes del mes pasado y que paren cualquier plan de hacer más recortes.
We ask the MTA board to reverse any cuts adopted last month and halt any plans. And we also have a letter for the board.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yolanda Gillis. Delfina Guzman, Crystal Gardner, go ahead.
Buenos días, mi nombre es Delfina Guzman. Yo vengo representando a todas las mamás.
I'm representing all mothers.
Cinco hijas, las cuales las uso el transporte todos los días, o sea, sé que cada fin de mes reciben de mí por lo menos 3 horas de su sueldo, los cuales lamentablemente creo que los van a perder porque me han obligado a cambiar a mis hijas a una escuela, la cual Para mí no es benéfica porque la escuela a la que iban es una estupenda escuela, pero gracias a sus recortes que van a hacer, me han obligado a ponerlas a una escuela realmente.
You forced me to change my kids to another school that is not as good as the one that they used to go to. They used to go to a really excellent school, and now I have to change them to another school because I can no longer afford the fare increases.
Tengo una niña especial. O sea, sé que yo uso el transporte todos los días.
I have a special order.
Pido, por favor,
I am asking you to reconsider to stop the service cuts.
Por favor, porque debido a eso, o sea, sé que si me levanto a las 5 de la mañana, me voy a levantar a las 3 para llegar a la cita de la niña especial.
Because of this, I'm going to have to get up at 3 in the morning instead of 5 to take my special girl to her doctor's appointments.
Por favor, si ustedes reconsideran, creo que mis hijas van a seguir en la excelente escuela. Tengo 3 hijas que son dotadas, o sea, son magníficas estudiantes. Por favor, reconsiderenlo.
Please reconsider this. If you reconsider this, I can keep my girls in their excellent school. They're excellent students and they deserve that education. Please reconsider this decision.
Gracias.
Thank you. Brian Bowens, followed by Chantel Kudo. Brian Bowens, Chantel, followed by Carla Maria Aguilar.
Good morning. I want to talk to you today about the staff.
Your name is?
Chantel, sorry, the Bus Riders Union. I want to talk to you about what the staff is calling capacity adjustments. These cuts are virtually invisible to the board, but to folks who show up and their line is shortened or not going to where it originally was, these cuts aren't invisible. The report that the staff put out says nothing about the 70,000 hours that will be whittled down from key corridors through shortlining and trip thinning in the upcoming cuts. The report also says nothing about hundreds of thousands of hours that were thinned in the past shakeups in the last 3 years. These are not cuts to duplicative or inefficient service. They reduce the quality and the efficiency of service for riders countywide. Because the staff has not done an adequate analysis, we've done our own and seen significant service reductions on major corridors from Wilshire to Soto to Van Nuys to Crenshaw to Vermont to Florence. The agency is obligated to produce a comprehensive analysis of these capacity cuts over the past 3 years. As part of that, there must be a geographic and demographic analysis of what communities have been and will be impacted by these so-called capacity cuts. Given the severity, we reiterate our demand that the board reverse its decision last month to cut 305,000 hours of service.
Thank you. Okay, that concludes the public testimony of the audience before us. Mr. Katz, you had some questions? On. Pardon me? I called and no one came. I asked everybody to get up, you know. Okay, one more then.
Hello, my name is Carla Maria Aguilar. I'm part of the Bus Riders Union. Good morning, board of directors. I want to shed some light on the staff report's claim about travel times. Supposedly, there's more transit in 2011 than there was in 1997. Because we have buses and trains that go faster. Yes, Rapid Bus has been a major improvement to transit users, and yes, travel time is on a small handful of routes due to new rail lines. The reality is that this agency is undermining the benefits of these improvements with a succession of deep cuts in bus service, including cuts justifying the introduction of new rail lines like the Gold Line or on the East Side or the Expo Line. End-to-end travel times depend on wait times, walking distance, and transfers, not simply miles per hour or the vehicle you're traveling in. In other words, the time you might save getting across town on a rail line is going to be canceled out by longer waiting times and more transfers due to service cuts, typically from bus to rail and back to bus again. The benefits of Rapid are disappearing as the Rapid system itself is cut back. So please change your mind about these service cuts.
Dr. Katz?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know this is a receive and file item, but if I could just ask a couple of questions and maybe staff could answer or at least get back to us on as we go through this process. One of the concerns that has been expressed is that when we talk about bus riders being able to get to the same place, you know, more efficiently, some of these changes will require changes in modes, so you may have a bus and a light rail. And what's our process for tracking in real time whether these things work out the way we think they do and the way they're modeled? How do we, you know, I'm curious and interested in how we make sure that what we believe happens is going to happen, number one, and same thing would be true because of the cumulative effects of the cuts. So in terms of bus riders, you know, destined trip from point A to point B, I guess 305 may be an idea, which is one long bus ride
right now, but it'll be
broken up, I think, into a light rail bus ride. I think that's how we have it envisioned.
Let me make a general comment, and Colin can fill in the gaps. Generally speaking, we do ride checks and point checks sometimes where we count passengers. We're monitoring what the volumes are. On occasion, they'll do an origin and destination study. But what they do is use this data to shape the service, to figure out headways. They check running times, things like that. And they look at new developments, such as the advent of a rail line, and try to make some coherent sense out of the system. So in this case, Conan and Scott Page have spent better part of a year working on these changes. In addition to that, after they came up with their original ideas back last December, a multi-month period of review by citizens, by a committee of writers that we had, by the Governance Council's public hearings that we had, all that goes on. And then based on that, we reduced the service reduction by about a quarter, as I recall, something like that. So what I want to say is it's an iterative process that never really ends. But Conan, you want to add to that, please?
Yeah, that's correct. And every 6 months, we have an opportunity to re-review what we've changed, and we can make adjustments according to what we see. But, for example, in the case of the 305, it's a stair-step route, as you mentioned. And anyone taking that line from their origin to destination would only have one transfer on that line on the new services. And it's in such a densely served area that the services that people would be taking are high-frequency services, so you're not waiting more than 7.5 minutes on average for a transfer. If it is a longer wait, what we do is we time the transfers where possible so that the buses meet together and people can make the time transfer that way.
So other than the once every 6 month review, how do we monitor to make sure that if we've asked the person who didn't have to transfer before now to transfer, to make sure that that intersection of the two buses or the bus and the light rail, whatever it may be, are happening in real time within this very small window, so that person is not actually spending, you know, more time overall on the commute than they were before?
Well, actually, that bleeds over into the theme that we've been talking about service quality,
right,
and real-time service management. In the past 2 years, in round numbers, our on-time performance has gone up from around 60% or less up to the high 70s, 78%. The valley is now in the 80s. Buses running ahead of schedule have been reduced from around 15 to 20% ahead of schedule down to about 4% ahead of schedule. Still, 4% is too high. So a lot of resources have been devoted to improving service quality, that is, on-time performance, as well as cleanliness. The important thing about a schedule breakdown, a bus late or a bus early, is that to the passenger and to the operator, all the data would suggest that we don't have enough service out there. and the only remedy is to add a bus, when in fact that's a misdiagnosis of the problem. The problem is poor real-time service management. So that's one of the major goals in the coming year. Now, what CONI will do is check running times and on-time performance on an ongoing basis. We're doing it by division. We're holding division managers accountable for their performance. We've realigned in the last year the instruction department, the supervision department, the street supervision, radio dispatch, all with an eye towards improving service management.
Maybe as we're making so many changes, you know, that have the potential, and there's so much going on, rather than every 6 months, maybe every quarter, this ought to be reviewed at this point, if that's physically possible, or at least in some of the key areas, because I think we're all in agreement about, you know, running a more efficient system that gets more bang for the buck, but we also want to make sure we're, you know, and I know your team does as well, meet the needs of our passengers, you know, our customers, our clients. And because it's so new, maybe we ought to be doing that in the beginning a little more frequently just to make sure things are matching up.
I'd be happy to do that. I know that Mr. Fasano, chair of the Ops Committee, wants to have more visibility for these issues, so I think that would be a great idea. We may have a schedule change in September, not so much for reduction, but for other purposes. But I think it's point accepted.
All right. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Yeah. Any other questions at this point?
Not, we will receive and file the item. Thank you all very much. Okay, we'll go back to front part of the agenda. Item 11 was pulled, I believe, from the consent calendar. Mr. Fasano?
Yes, Chairman. Item C contemplates report back monthly whenever funds are transferred. I just wanted to add a little bit more detail to that. That with regard to Part C, the report back
should be on the agenda right on that.
Meeting whenever a transfer does occur, and that it should indicate specifics such as the reasons for the change, what money was moved, and which projects are impacted. So I'm just asking that it go in the agenda for the full board.
It's okay.
No problem.
Clarification. Thank you.
That item number 11 is moved with the amendment without objections. So ordered. Next we go. Board of Directors, item number one. This is the Metrolink Antelope Valley issue. Are we going to staff report first, Mike?
Yes.
Staff report first, please. Thank you. Let's see, Speaker. This is item number one.
Yes, Mr.
Board of Directors, items.
I'll just indicate that staff would be pleased to accept the assignment that is requested by the...
We get that mic on, please. We can't hear you, Paul. There you go.
Staff would be pleased...
It's on, but...
Staff would be pleased to accept the assignment that is indicated by this motion. We think it's a good idea.
Thank you. Could, you know, just as a follow-up, before we get in, Mike, I know Mike has some issues to deal with here. Can we just sort of fix this system so we don't have to, you know, it's a little more direct sounding. It sounds a little bit better.
Yes, sir.
Been doing it for years. Okay. Director Antonovich.
Right. Mr. Chairman, members, this is really a blueprint for the Metrolink's corridor, which is nearly 77 miles between that Los Angeles Union Station and Antelope Valley. These enhancements would provide a service between Antelope Valley to Union Station in less than 1 hour and from Santa Clarita Valley to Union Station in less than 30 minutes. And these rail enhancements would also reduce a lot of the congestion that right now occurs on the 5 and the 14. Alternative that really out-competes traveling by automobile along that 14 and 5. More importantly, it also, along with that reduction of congestion, it reduces a lot of the air pollution. The motion is directing MTA to work with Metrolink with a report back to the MTA board on the cost, benefits, and funding strategy and how we can straighten out the rail lines to enhance that that service. And it's important that we do that because we have the two fastest growing regions in Los Angeles County today is the Antelope Valley and the Santa Clarita Valley, and integrating them into the mainstream of the county, Los Angeles, with Union Station, which is really the focal transit center for the region, is going to enhance the entire economic opportunities and jobs for the entire region.
I'll move it.
So second it.
All right.
I'll second your motion.
Okay, it was moved by Director Antoni, seconded by Mr. Katz.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to offer a friendly amendment for clarification purposes, and that is that the study money, which the mover refers to, will be funded through the Measure R 3% funds, which are earmarked, allocated, and segregated from the general proceeds of Measure R.
That's fine. That friendly?
Yes.
I thought you were going to take it out of that wonderful 710 study, but that's it.
How about the city of Glendale local return?
Come on! Friendly amendment, Mr. Tom, accept that friendly amendment?
I did.
Okay, a second? Okay. It's been moved and seconded as with a friendly amendment. I have some public speakers. Okay? Easy. John Walsh, Arnold Sachs, and Damian Goodman.
John Walsh, blogging at Hollywood Highlands, HIGHLANDS.org. Email us at HollywoodDems@gmail.com. Well, nothing wrong with this. You know, support it. You know, we're lucky bus riders. In the past 10 or 15 years, I don't think we've lost more than two people in accidents on a bus, two or three. But these poor white people on the Metrolink, I mean, you're killing them left and right. How many have you killed in the last 10 years? About 40 or 50? So in certain ways, it's better to be a minority on the buses than a white person on their commuter rail.
Oh, thank you. Arnold Sachs? Damian Goodman.
Thank you again, Arnold Sachs. Why don't you take the funding to run the study out of the Measure R administrative funds that constitute 1% of the Measure R funds? Why don't you use that funding there? But in order for you to do a study, maybe you could get Herb Billion, you know, maybe he could do part of the study when he's not working at the Los Angeles to Pasadena Metro Blue Line Construction Authority. You know, they've had more meetings for this authority than they've had for the Pasadena Blue Line Construction Authority. Get funding from that. The Gold Line is just the name of the project. The construction authority is the one that oversees it. That's how they divide and conquer this funding up so they can steal from both pots of money.
Damian Goodman.
This vote cancels your vote.
Board members, how are you? I want to commend Director Antonovich and Najarian for presenting this important rail safety measure. And state our strong organizational support for from the Fix Expo campaign for it. I do hope that all directors will be more forward-thinking as we expand our rail transportation system and display the same safety concerns in a preventable fashion. We do not require carnage on the tracks to act. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, the item is before us as amended, a friendly amendment, moved by Supervisor Antonovich, seconded by Director Katz, without objection, so ordered. Okay, we've taken care of the removal from the consent calendar, and so we will go to the items that are non-consent. Okay, item 14, staff.
Good morning. Today we have before you an item to adopt a locally preferred alternative for the Crenshaw LAX light rail line. In December 2009, when you approved the locally preferred alternative, the maintenance facility sites that were currently under consideration were eliminated. Since then, we've explored numerous alternative sites, completed a supplemental environmental document, and have held a public comment period. The public comment period closed on April 11th, and we are asking the board to adopt the Arborvita Villanca site, Site 14, as in the city of Los Angeles as a locally preferred alternative. This site will then be incorporated into the final environmental document, which is scheduled to be brought before you for certification this summer. We have a brief presentation on the selection process. If you would like us to present it, Roderick Diaz, our project manager, is here to answer any questions.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I simply want to acknowledge the work that's been done by the staff on this and am prepared to move the item when the chair deems it appropriate.
Okay. We do have some public comments, and we'll, but I too, and this has been a very involved process, and the staff is to be commended for the extra effort you put into to this particular item. I'm going to call for public comments at this point. Mr. John Walsh, followed by DJ Moore, followed by Lawrence Hawley.
This is John Walsh, HollywoodHighlands.org. It's a very controversial issue in committee. Zev was tearing the skin off the staff. What's the name of the contractor? What's going on? He's a sore loser because, thanks to Obama, this Crenshaw line, which connects the Expo to the Green Line, has leapfrogged over all the other projects, including subway to the White Man's Sea. And so what we're seeing here is, now when Mark Ridley Thomas is here, he just he's afraid to say anything. But let's face it, who was at Dorsey when Obama showed up for his first meeting here? Those black leaders who were at Dorsey at his first huge rally here, when Hillary was a sure thing, those supporters must be repaid, and they are being repaid with a $1.5 billion interest-free loan to build foolish rail line.
Thank you. DJ Moore, followed by Lawrence Hewley, followed by Aaron Nadari.
Good morning. DJ Moore of Latham & Watkins on behalf of NSHE Lebanon LLC, which is one of the property owners of the recommended Site 14. We have submitted to you a letter detailing our CEQA concerns with the supplemental EIR, and we believe that those concerns need to be addressed before the board moves forward with the site. In addition to those concerns, I just want to highlight two issues with the staff report to you. First, the staff report says that the potential significant impacts on Site 14 can be entirely mitigated. That is incorrect. The EIR contradicts this and discloses three significant and unavoidable impacts associated with Site 14. That's more than each of the other sites that were considered and something the board is required to consider under CEQA. Second, the staff report has dramatically changed the estimates for developing most of the sites by tens of millions of dollars since the EIR has been released. The staff report describes Site 14 as cost-effective, but is now estimating that it costs $20 million less than what the EIR estimated. We're asking that the backup for this for these new estimates be released to the public and the board.
We are in receipt of your letter and putting yourself in a position for negotiations. We understand that. Thank you. Mr. Hewley, Aaron Nadari. Lawrence Hewley, Aaron Nadari.
Good morning, members of the board. My name is Aaron Nadari of the law firm Paul Mary Tyler. We represent Hawthorne Mini Venture, the owners of U.S. storage facility located at 14680 Aviation Boulevard in Hawthorne that would have been impacted by the D22 expansion alternative. We are speaking today in support of staff's recommendation of Site 14 as the locally preferred maintenance facility site. We provided our written objections to the D22 expansion alternative along with other owners of the Aviation Center Owners Association that the U.S. Storage is a part of and a significant number of other members of the public around the D22 expansion alternative. Site 14 is the more appropriate alternative than the D22 alternative. It is more along the lines of what the public wants, and it is more along the lines of what this agency needs in the short term and long term. I'd urge the board to adhere to staff's recommendation and approve the adoption of Site 14 as the locally preferred alternative. Thank you.
Thank you. Joyce Rooney? Followed by Damian Goodman, followed by Arnold Sachs.
Morning, board. Joyce Rooney, transit manager for the city of Redondo Beach. I'm here today to speak on behalf of supporting the Site 14 as a selection for the maintenance facility. The city of Redondo Beach looks forward to the Green Line extension into the South Bay area. We believe it will improve our mobility and alleviate the congestion that's existing and more to come. We currently operate a Beach Cities Transit. We have two routes that serve the Green Line stations at Aviation, Douglas Station, and also the Marine Station. Each of these locations are high destination points for people that transfer from our service, as well as people who are coming from the Green Line onto our service. So again, we support the recommendation for the Arborvita site. We agree that it is the best location of those that were considered, and we encourage the board to improve the recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for coming down. Your mayor has made that known as well, too. Damian Goodman, and then Arnold Sachs.
I want to commend the board for directing staff to identify potential sites that will serve the long-term rail expansion needs of the MTA rail system, specifically the Crenshaw LAX project and Green Line extensions. It's a type of long-term planning that one would expect to see in other aspects of the planning process. For example, one would hope, if possible, the tunnel boring machines used on the Crenshaw LAX line could also be used on the subway to the sea in Supervisor Yaslowski's district. However, I must point out that had the maintenance facility been planned differently, correctly from the beginning, going back to 2007, that the agency could have, when the opportunity presented itself, segmented it from the Crenshaw LAX project, designated it as a new Green Line extension, new Green Line maintenance facility, and qualified it for stimulus funds. It would have relieved the agency of a $290 million burden. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Sachs?
Thank you. I'm glad to hear that the public comment period is closed on this item. I believe the West Side Extension had outreach programs, and then people came before and said, oh, you know, by the way, we're going to change the route going to Beverly Hills High School. That was after the public comment period had closed on that West Side Extension outreach program. Also, when the aviation site was considered, the ex-mayor El Segundo McDowell mentioned that he'd rather have a slaughterhouse there. It just so happens on there was a story in the LA Times regarding a company in East LA that was looking to relocate because their slaughterhouse was being, the people in the neighborhood of the slaughterhouse that was located there were complaining that it was too smelly. They could have moved to Aviation Station. And finally, regarding the comments regarding the tunnel boring machine, why not look at the tunnel boring machine for the downtown connector? That could have finished the job and saved $1.2 billion, but then you wouldn't have been able to be paid three times for the same project.
Okay, the item is before us is moved by Supervisor Ridley Thomas, chair, seconded by Director DuBois. Any further questions or discussion? So ordered. Thank you. And again, thank you to the staff for your effort on this particular. That is approving site number 14, so that we're clear. Thank you. Item 16 has been continued, as I understand it, until next month. Next item is item 17. Relax, okay? Item 17, please.
Director O'Connor is not here. This is a motion she made as regards the Ad Hoc Sustainability Committee. There's a series of items which are listed here. We'd be happy to evaluate them and come back in the future if that would be the the pleasure of the board.
Well, she has, the question I had is there's no, is there a report back period?
I would suggest maybe 90 days.
Okay. With that, or is this to come back as part of the November 2011 transportation agenda, the active transportation? She's not.
Tell you what, why don't we speak with her and we'll make sure that we're doing it. But she wants us to, you know, we'll come back and report on progress.
Mr. Chair, I would ask a couple of things. When this came before the Sustainability Committee, there was a language change that was indicated under bullet point number 6 on the back. We were changing health impact assessments to health evaluation, and I think that's very, very important. And then I would suggest, and I was going to make a friendly amendment, but it's apparently not appropriate at this time, to take it to the sub-regions and get input from the cities on the practices as well.
I don't think it's inappropriate at all. That was going to be one of my questions to do it. And I think that should be part of the report back. I mean, you're going to have outreach in this. We just can't. It's not one of those things you can just move forward on our own and try to. So take it to the. Do you have a motion that you're going to?
Well, there was a motion here that we were talking about, and then I was going to add a friendly amendment to take it to the subregions and get input from the cities on best practices, basically.
Okay.
But I don't know whether your thought is to go ahead with the motion or to answer some questions first. That's why I'm confused.
I think if the board gave us direction to do this, and it does have the date November in here, we would just come back against that date and comply with the direction of doing some outreach and assessing each of these items and trying to figure out what the impact would be and how we might approach the issue.
So then it would come back as a motion at the next board meeting, or we...
You could either pass...
Or move forward with your friendly amendment.
Okay.
To reach out to the sub-regions to be a part of this, to get an analysis, and then come, as I understand it,
that's fine.
Okay? Mr. Jerry,
I'll withdraw my question. I think it's...
All right. So, item 17 with a friendly amendment, moved by Director Du Bois, seconded by Director Fasano, without objection, so we're... Okay, we'll go back to... Okay, I'll move reconsideration. We have